Okay, so imagine this. You're a brand new lawyer in Tennessee,
Oh, yeah.
fresh out of law school. You're advising a client,
Right.
and they're facing like a whole bunch of charges.
Okay.
The verdict comes in, and then the judge starts talking about like stacking these sentences one after the other.
Consecutive
Exactly,
sentences.
like consecutive sentences. And you're like,
Yeah.
wait a minute,
Right.
like when can a judge actually do that?
Yeah.
And how does that even work?
Huge question.
Huge question,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
So understanding like the why and the when of consecutive sentencing, that's absolutely crucial for like any lawyer in Tennessee,
Especially a brand new one.
especially someone just starting out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what we're diving into today.
Okay.
We're going deep into this landmark case, Gray v. State of Tennessee,
Oh, big one.
a huge one.
Yeah.
It basically laid down the rules for consecutive sentencing and judicial discretion in Tennessee.
It's interesting, right?
So it's not just about like understanding this one case.
Oh.
It's about this like foundational
It's
principle of
absolutely.
sentencing here in our state.
And it's about that balance, you know, between what a trial judge can decide to do and then how much the appellate courts can
Stay
step in and
hungry.
say, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Maybe not so fast.
All right. So let's get into it.
Okay.
Take us back to before this gray case. What was the legal landscape like?
So back then, Tennessee law did allow for consecutive sentences. There was a statute, TCA 40-2711,
Got it.
and it actually required appellate review of sentencing.
So there was some oversight.
Right, there was that layer. But here's the thing, there weren't like super clear guidelines for trial judges on when they should choose consecutive sentences.
So it was kind of like up in the air.
It was kind of a little bit open to interpretation.
Okay, so that probably caused some issues.
Oh yeah, it led to like inconsistency, you know? And then it was hard for the appellate courts to like really review those sentences.
Right, because there was no like standard to compare it to.
Exactly. It was tricky.
Okay, so enter Eugene Gray
Here we go.
and this armed robbery at a Jet food store in Memphis.
Oh yeah.
So give us the details, what happened?
All right. So back in 1976, Eugene Gray, he commits this armed robbery at a Jet food store. But the key here is during this one robbery, he threatens an employee and a customer.
So two victims.
Two victims. So at trial, he's convicted on two counts of armed robbery, two separate counts. The trial judge gives him two 10-year sentences and orders them to be served consecutively,
Back to back.
back to back. One starts when the other one ends.
20 years.
Exactly.
And that's where this whole case hinges, right?
This is where it gets interesting.
Because the judge didn't really give a reason for why.
Right, just a consecutive.
Consecutive, no explanation.
Plus, the robberies happened super close together.
Basically at the same time.
So it was like almost one event.
Like one long incident.
Right. And so sending this case through appeals,
This is where the courts get involved.
that's where things get interesting. So was it that whole single episode thing the only issue?
That was a big part of it,
Yeah.
especially for the defense.
Right.
But the Tennessee Supreme Court,
Yeah.
they took it a step further. Justice Phones was like, we need to figure out when consecutive sentencing is actually fair.
Not just in this case,
Not just for Eugene Gray.
but like across the board.
We need a framework with
Okay.
some guidelines.
So judges can't just do whatever they want.
They need some rules.
Okay, so they tossed out that single criminal episode idea.
They weren't convinced.
Why?
Well, Justice Phones, he wrote,
Yeah.
that focusing on like when the crimes happen.
This goes distracting from the bigger question.
Fishes.
How do we protect people from this guy in the future? Like, how do we keep the public safe?
So it's not about what happened, it's about what might happen.
Right, that was their focus.
Got it.
He even called that single episode idea a tangled labyrinth. Way too
So
complicated.
they were like, no, we need something different.
Yeah, something more focused.
Okay, so what did they come up with?
This is where those five offender classifications come in.
This is the heart of gray.
A big takeaway.
All right, hit us with those categories.
Okay, so first up, we've got the persistent offender.
Okay, what's that?
So this is someone with a history of crime. They keep reoffending even after they've been punished.
So, like, they do their time, they get out, and then they commit more crimes.
Exactly. They haven't learned their lesson.
Right.
Like someone with multiple
Even
felonies.
if those felonies were years ago,
Yeah, if they keep messing up.
they could be a persistent offender. Okay, so that's one category.
Number one.
What's next?
Okay, number two is the professional criminal.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so tell me about that.
So this is someone who basically makes a living from breaking the law.
So like their job is crime.
Yeah, like they're running a drug ring.
Okay.
Or some kind of elaborate scam.
So it's not just like a one-time thing. It's like their whole career.
It's their profession.
Got it.
Okay, number three is the multiple offender.
Okay, so this is someone who commits like all kinds of different crimes.
Right. It's not just the same crime over and over.
Like they've got a whole resume of offenses.
Exactly. Oh. Theft, assault, fraud, maybe even some white collar stuff.
Wow. Okay. So this is someone who's just like breaking all sorts of laws.
Breaking all the rules.
Yeah. What's number four?
Number four is the dangerous, mentally abnormal person.
Okay. That one sounds pretty intense.
This is where it gets tricky.
So tell me more.
It's not enough to just have a mental health diagnosis.
Okay.
The court has to find that their mental state makes them likely to commit more crimes.
So, like, their mental condition directly leads to criminal behavior.
And it has to be dangerous behavior.
Right.
Like, they could really hurt someone.
Okay, so this isn't just about any mental health issue. It's about a specific link to dangerousness.
Exactly. It's a high bar.
And I'm guessing they need expert testimony for this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. And last but not least, category number five.
The dangerous offender.
This is the one everyone always talks about.
The big one.
So what makes someone a dangerous offender?
This is important.
Yeah.
Just committing a violent crime.
Like armed robbery.
Right. Like in Gray's case.
Yeah.
That's not enough on its own.
Okay.
There have to be what they call aggravating circumstances.
Okay. Give me some examples.
So things like torture.
Oh, wow.
Extreme cruelty to the victim. Oh. Oh. Evidence that they planned it out really carefully.
Premeditation.
Yeah. Or just like shocking brutality.
So it's like the crime itself has to be especially horrific.
Exactly. It's about the level of violence and depravity.
Okay. So even though Gray committed armed robbery.
Right.
He wasn't automatically a dangerous offender.
Not necessarily.
It depended on the specifics of the crime.
The details matter.
And did the court say anything about why they set the bar so high for this category?
They wanted to reserve it for the worst of the worst.
The most extreme cases?
The ones where protecting the public is absolutely paramount.
But even if someone doesn't meet that dangerous offender standard, they could still get consecutive sentences.
Oh, for sure.
If they fall into one of the other four categories.
Right, exactly.
So it's not like an all or nothing thing.
It's more nuanced than that.
Okay, so it sounds like Gray shifted the focus from the single criminal episode to like a much broader evaluation of the offender.
Absolutely.
Like their whole criminal history, their mental state.
And the potential threat they pose.
The future danger.
Exactly.
Did the court specifically say anything about this shift in emphasis?
Oh, yeah. Justice Phones, he literally quoted this line from a previous case.
Oh, why is it?
It said, confinement is necessary to protect the public from further criminal conduct.
So they're basically saying, we're not just punishing past crimes.
Right.
We're trying to prevent future ones.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point of these five categories.
It's about public safety.
Now, it's interesting how they moved away from that single episode idea.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Because the defense in Gray.
Yeah.
They were probably arguing that focusing on that one incident was kind of unfair.
Right. Like it exaggerated the severity.
Yeah. And it led to this like disproportionate punishment.
Because it blurred the lines between separate actions.
Right. But the court was more worried about the risk this guy posed.
The future risk.
Yeah, regardless of how connected those past crimes were.
It's a big philosophical question, isn't it?
Totally.
Like, what's the purpose of punishment?
Is it about retribution?
Or is it about preventing future harm?
That's a whole other deep dive.
We could talk about that for hours.
So Gray wasn't just about these five categories.
No, it went further than that.
It also changed how sentencing works in Tennessee.
Procedurally, yeah.
Yeah, what happened with Gray's case after the Supreme Court ruling?
So they remanded the case.
Meaning?
They sent it back to the trial court.
Okay.
Because the original judge didn't give any reasons for the consecutive sentences.
Right, he just said consecutive.
Exactly.
No explanation.
And the Supreme Court was like, nope.
You got to explain yourself.
You got to justify your decision.
So what changed after that?
From then on, trial judges have to explain on the record why they're giving consecutive sentences.
Okay.
And they have to say which of the five categories they're using.
So they can't just pick a category randomly.
You have to connect the dots.
And give reasons.
Specific reasons.
So it's like show your work.
Exactly.
Why did you choose this category?
What facts support your decision?
So the appellate courts can actually review it properly.
Right. They need that information.
This is huge for transparency and accountability.
Absolutely.
Judges can't just do whatever they want anymore.
They have to follow the rules.
And document everything.
The record.
Now, some people might say that those five categories are still kind of subjective.
Oh, for sure.
Like, what exactly makes someone a persistent offender?
Right. Where's the line?
But at least now, there's a process.
There's a framework.
And a record.
So if you disagree with the sentence,
you can appeal it.
And the appellate court has something to work with.
So for our listeners out there.
Future lawyers. Yeah.
Remember this. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with consecutive sentences in Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's all about those five categories.
Gray is your guide.
You got to know them inside and out.
Absolutely.
And you got to look for those specific facts.
Details matter.
That support or refute each category.
It's all about the evidence.
Especially for that dangerous offender category.
Oh, yeah. That one's tricky.
You got to find those aggravating circumstances.
It's a high bar.
And remember, those circumstances have to go beyond the crime itself.
They can't just be inherent to the offense.
So to recap, Gravy State changed the game in Tennessee.
It did.
It shifted the focus from these single criminal episodes.
The offender themselves.
And it established these five categories.
Persistent offender.
Professional criminal.
Multiple offender.
Dangerous, mentally abnormal.
Oh, dangerous offender.
With that extra requirement of aggravating circumstances.
It's a dangerous offender.
And now judges have to explain their reasoning on the record.
Transparency is key.
Exactly.
It's a whole new world.
But some critics say that strict definition of dangerous offender might be too limiting.
Like it ties the judge's hands.
Yeah, like what if someone's clearly a threat? But they don't meet those specific criteria.
That's a good question.
So for everyone listening.
Law students out there.
Think about this. Does this five-category system.
From Gray.
Really strike the right balance?
Between judicial discretion and public safety.
What are the arguments for and against these categories?
Are there any unintended consequences?
It's something to ponder as you continue your legal journey.
These are the big questions.
And Gravy State is just the beginning.
It's a starting point.
Keep exploring.
Keep learning.
And keep asking those tough questions.
That's what it's all about.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive.
Until next time.